This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we love talking to you every week about different subjects that we think are important and educational for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. We always like to let you know about what's going on, what's happening in our cultural community, in our charitable organizations, and what events are taking place. And as you know, we talk about economics when we can, and health and welfare and education. And education, as I just talked about not too long ago, is of course one of the most important subjects that we ever can cover or that we ever can discuss, because whatever happens in the rest of our lives, our education certainly has the most effect, the longest effect, and especially on young people, as we know. I mean, there's a time, I guess, when it's too late. If you don't learn when you're very young, they say it's too late, and I don't know what that time is, but I hope our listeners know. In the studio with us today are two women who are involved in Junior Achievement of Western New York. And we're going to find out about empowering our future, our young, that's what I was going to say before, young people are our future. And their education is, they're the ones that are going to be, you know, running this country, running this world, and certainly running everything in Western New York when they grow up. So we have to be sure, it's our responsibility, that they get the best opportunities that they can and the best education that we can give them. And so in the studio with us, as I started to say, are two guests from Junior Achievement, and they are going to be discussing what the progress and what exactly the mission is and what Junior Achievement programs they have had in the past and are going to have in the future that are going to make and have made a difference for our young people and for the future of the people in Western New York. And I want to say that in the studio with us today is Lori Mahoney, and Ms. Mahoney is the president of Junior Achievement of Western New York, right? And Alicia Ivancy. And Alicia is the senior education manager. And all of the, both of these ladies and myself are here because my assistant volunteer producer, beautiful, brilliant daughter, Robin, told me that City had some relationship with this wonderful group, that they were making such a difference in the education of our young people and helping young people get certain knowledge and skills in Western New York. It was called Junior Achievement, and I should talk to them on Target, and I always listen to what she tells me, so here they are. Thank you for coming. She will not agree that I always listen to what she tells me, but she has really good ideas because, you know, working with the different groups for City, she has the idea of who's making a difference here in the community, and so she highly recommended you ladies.
Thank you. You
have a lot to live up to.
Thank you, Robin.
Yes. Why don't you get closer? Okay, so let me start out by asking you, what is the mission of Junior Achievement? I'm not sure that especially our listeners, you know, I try to keep up on everything that's going on. I'm not sure that I know exactly what Junior Achievement is supposed to do.
So as a mission statement, our mission statement is to prepare and inspire young people to succeed in a global economy. What a lot of people may not know about Junior Achievement, if you know about it locally, is that we are a global organization, and we're serving almost 10 million students globally. So very large, very powerful, and this year, it's our 100th anniversary. So on December 1st of 2019, we will be celebrating 100 years as an organization.
Not locally or
as a worldwide organization, as a global organization. Mm-hmm. Although the organization did start in Massachusetts, so it started here in the U.S. And currently, there are 106 area offices throughout the United States that serve about 4.6 million young people.
So what does that mean? It sounds, you know, very impressive and awe-inspiring, but in reality, what in practicality, what does it mean?
I told you. So all of our programs are focused around three common themes: financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and work readiness skills. Here locally, we serve the 8 counties of Western New York. And just last year, we reached over 16,000 students throughout those 8 counties. And we are bringing volunteers in the community from businesses that represent our Western New York community, like City and so many other organizations that we work with, that are sending their employees as volunteers into classrooms where we've been requested by teachers. So we are connecting the business world with the education world.
In what way? I mean, do they how do they, like, logistically, physically, do they really come in real life? You know,
yes, they do. They come in real life. Volunteers from the business world come into a classroom where our programs have been requested. They come armed with materials that we use clear across the country. So it's a standardized curriculum. It's aligned with the standards. It's aligned with Common Core. So we're helping to reinforce what teachers are teaching by way of a community volunteer. So someone in the classroom, a mentor from a company that the students might have heard of, maybe not have heard of, but they're helping to open their eyes as to what jobs are out there, what skills are needed to attain those jobs, and just some of the soft skills that go along with it. So regardless of where they are in their path, what are the tools that they need to be successful?
Where does this start? At what age and what level?
We start at kindergarten. So we have... Huh? that's usually the question that I get from, yeah. What could you possibly teach kindergartners about, financial literacy or entrepreneurship? And the beauty of it is, because we are part of that national umbrella organization, JAUSA, we have this beautiful curriculum that is tried and tested and proven to work in the classrooms, and it's all hands-on. So we're sending volunteers in with games to play with the students, activities to lead. It's very question and answer. It's not just a guest speaker in the classroom lecturing to the kids. They're learning by doing. So it's all experiential learning.
I was the first time I did a kindergarten, teaching is not my background, and I thought the same thing. Like, how do you teach a young person like that and keep their attention? And I was, people who write curriculum, they just know how to do it in a way that engages at that right level. So, like, in kindergarten, we started off with something simple like bartering. The kids take a trip to their aunt's farm, and she takes some wheat down to the store and gets some milk. And that's their first experience with, the beginning of. Then it's a simple, you have to go to a birthday party, and you want to get your friends something. What are you going to do to earn some money to save? Because our pillars are financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and career and work readiness. And budgeting is huge, and a lot of people don't know how to do that. So we're starting to teach kindergartners, well, if you're going to buy a present, you have to save, and you're going to have to do chores or do something. So we start to instill that very, very young in a very creative way that I could not write the curriculum for, but people much smarter than me do a fabulous job. And so, of course, we all in our office teach some different programs. And there hasn't been a one that I don't teach and learn something from, number one, which is interesting because you think at this age you'd know it all, right? Or see how the students, it's exactly perfectly written for that age or grade, and they get it.
And you mentioned financial literacy as one, and I have to catch the other two. Entrepreneurship
and career and work readiness. Okay. So we have three pillars is how we refer to them.
Okay. And so you, in order to work on these three, you start, as you suggested, even at kindergarten, and then each program goes according to, what level. And I guess the guests or the teachers or what you call them, the volunteers that come in, mm-hmm. also represent, well, we mentioned City a few times, but mm-hmm. what are some other examples of companies or people that would be involved in teaching? So instructing, whatever you call it.
So our volunteers come from all walks of life because there is such a real world practicum to it. Anybody that has balanced a checkbook or applied for a job has that information that we want to share with the students. But the majority of our volunteers are businessmen and women. They represent companies like M&T Bank and City and Independent Health and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Because of the financial literacy tie-in, all of the banks are represented. Because of the workforce development development, which is such a hot topic in the community right now. Everyone wants to be able to empower the generation that's coming up to be ready with those soft skills and skills that are needed to be successful in the workplace.
How do you find the people, the schools that you're going to go to? Do they contact you? Do they volunteer? And, you know, geographically also, where are they?
So our footprint are the 8 counties of Western New York. So essentially that means we are running programs in Niagara Falls, Medina, the Orleans County area, all the way down to Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. That's still our footprint. So we have programs in Jamestown and Falconer schools, and then out towards not quite to Rochester, but we cover Genesee and Wyoming County. And then there's another JA office that picks up the central part of the state. So within that footprint, any school that is interested, school or community organization, we do have, you know, we can run programs through like a church-based group or a Boys and Girls Club or something like that, which we've done before. So anyone that's interested in having our program can contact us directly at our website is usually the easiest way to do that, and that's jawny.org. So we're right now in the thick of it with schools back in session. Teachers are calling and emailing and requesting their program. Sometimes that comes from a superintendent. Sometimes it comes from a teacher, principal. It's a wide variety. So any school that's interested. But then it falls on us to find the volunteers to go into the classrooms and then the financial support to make it happen.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking to representatives of Junior Achievement of Western New York about the organization, and actually we are talking to the president and to the senior educational manager, okay? So I got those titles right. And we are talking, as I said, about what they do and who they help and how they help and what their programs are. I just was looking through. Fortunately, you brought me the brochure, so it's really interesting for me to find out when it says Junior Achievement Experiences. I had to look twice because it said Junior Achievement Stock Market Challenge. I thought, okay, you have to be, just tell me what the stock market challenge is and how to succeed. I really want to know, I'm sure our listeners do, any tips about the stock market.
So a lot of what Alicia's been talking about are what we would call our traditional in-classroom or something that could be used at a community center or, you know, out of school base that comes in a kit and everything the volunteer needs is there and they take it in with them. We also have a stock market challenge, which is a student experience. And it's literally like a day on the stock market floor. So we have it at the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center. Students come for a high school, 9th through 12th grade students, and they come from all over our footprint. Last year we had about 600 students there, and they in teams of four, they compete to be the team that converts their $1 million portfolio into the highest return. So it's a simulation of a day on the stock market floor is really what it is. So these students, they come in pre-event, and they come in, they have $1 million of faux money, and they have a list of stocks that they can invest it in, and they come in with their portfolio loaded. And then we have a vendor who does the simulation for us, and there's three huge screens, so you know what your stock is doing, you know what your other teams are doing, and what's going on. And we have traders on the floor, and the students literally have to call the trader over, and as the simulation goes on, they have to buy and sell stocks. And in the course of all that, we have world events that occur, and they're announced. And now the students have to go, okay, now what should I do with my portfolio based on this world event? We might offer an IPO. They have to decide, should I take the IPO or shouldn't I take the IPO? So it's a real kind of a real work experience. Well, you know, stock market sounds financial, which it is, but it's really an opportunity for students to try to do a job that they might think they wouldn't like or they might think they would like, and they find out, oh, maybe goodness, this isn't really for me, or maybe, geez, I never thought of this job, but I loved every minute of what went on in this experience.
And these are the future wolves of Wall Street.
Yes,
that
they
training
are.
Some of them right here.
Absolutely. And sometimes even their teachers are surprised at who rises to the occasion.
Or hedge fund geniuses.
Absolutely.
And I know there's a few. That sounds so fascinating. I'm sure there are career either days or times or, because you mentioned one of the goals is to help people, young people, decide what they want to do, employment and future jobs and so forth. There must be like days like this says Career Quest, for example.
Yes. In the spring, now we have an event. It's changed the name from Career Quest to JA Inspire. This year will be April 30th, and it's actually designed for middle school students to help them experience careers in a career. It's more than a career fair. It's set up like a career fair, but it's more like an expo, so they get to go and travel to the different booths and to speak to the representatives there. But then they get to experience a piece of that job, so it's still the hands-on aspect. So we did that in the spring, and that part of the event also includes a workshop around soft skills and some of the those things that are also needed in the workplace. So last year we had 500 middle schoolers attend that event as well, and I think the thing that surprised us the most was that the demand was so high, that the middle school teachers, because we weren't sure how it would be received at the middle school level, but the teachers responded, and they wanted to sign up whole grade levels and in large groups. So this year we're expanding the event even more to accommodate more students, because those are the years in 7th and 8th grade that they're planning courses that they're going to take in high school that will then impact their college and their career path.
The other thing that happens in middle school, you were talking about, you know, our role as an organization is to keep students engaged in school so they will graduate. So you were talking before about, you know, what happens if you don't graduate, what do you then do? So everything from kindergarten on up, we have a learning to earning. Something is in there to talk to students about. If you don't stay in school, here's what can happen. Middle school is the biggest chunk of time where young people make a decision as to whether they're going to stay in school and be engaged, or stay in school and not be engaged, which is not good either, or decide, no, I'm really going to drop out of school. And it happens in middle school. And so JA as an organization, I would say about 6 years ago now, developed programs that are about career and work readiness that fit into that cohort of students. And I was on the phone yesterday on a conference meeting, and a teacher from one of the school districts said, oh, you know, one of the big mandates now in New York State curriculum is career and work readiness. So we were a little bit ahead of that curve, because we knew that that's where you need to keep kids engaged. And it can't be someone talking to them. It has to be, I want to see it, I want to feel it, I want to experience it. So we're very careful, too, to make sure that we infuse all the vocations, because that's been a lost piece of what has been going on in the work world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because it's so important that people understand that it's not all academics having a degree necessarily, that there are so many chances for employment and success in, like you just said, in the work world.
Until 10 years from now when you call a plumber and you can't find one.
That's what
Because that's
saying.
What will happen if we
think
don't.
Think that happened already. Think that's now.
I think so, too. And so, you know, or your car breaks down. I mean, they're important jobs that require, the ability to understand math and science and technology. People don't think about them that way. So they think about college careers. But these jobs are very important jobs to our society, and they're good-paying jobs. So we need to make sure that young people have a full view of what is what the workplace is, and also what goes on. So if a young person sees the word law on a firm, they're like, "Well, I don't want to be a lawyer, so I'm not even going to look at that employer." What they don't understand is behind the walls of a law firm or a bank are all those other jobs. There's IT. There's digital technology. There's cool, fun account. There's all these other things, but they don't know that unless somebody tells them that.
There's the health person or the public relations person.
Yeah,
it's just all kinds of the HR person. That's what I was trying to get at. You mentioned technology. So I'm thinking that part of the curriculum, the different curriculum, must be a way to get young people. I was thinking of that STEM group that, you know, Robin was mm-hmm. interested in talking right. about. Getting, you know, especially young girls, mm-hmm. interested in technology, interested in IT kind of things, computer work, engineering, that kind of thing.
Right, absolutely. Right. I think it's still the opportunity to bring the STEM professionals into the classroom, to be that volunteer, to be that face that is interacting with the students. We're not the organization that is going to be teaching coding or anything around robotics or anything like that, but just to introduce those in a deeper, more meaningful way in the classroom, to have that mentor-mentee arrangement in the classroom, working with the teacher on a series of lessons. So the volunteer is working with that same class over a period of time. So they really get to know that volunteer, know their background and their story and how they came to be in their job. One of the things, too, that I think is great that the new programs have really done is incorporate the STEM-focused careers, but also, like we said, emphasizing the soft skills. So even if you are going into a science-based career, you might think in your head, I'm just gonna do the science. I don't have to learn how to interact as a coworker. I don't have to, you know, really worry about communicating. Well, we know that's not the case. You still need those soft skills, regardless of what career field you teach. So we have a lot of teachers that specifically ask for us because of that. Like, STEM is such a focus, but you still need the soft skills, and that's the missing link.
And I think some of, when you mention entrepreneurial and that kind of thing, a lot of what you're teaching or trying to help young people with is how to get along in the workplace, how to get a job, keep a job,
absolutely.
And you just said get along with your coworkers, yes. that kind of relationships.
Yes. In communication now, when you think about how kids communicate, there's the writing a letter, it's a lost art form, right?
Yes,
even
right.
if you're texting, you're not spelling correctly, you're, you know, everything is, it's so, but when you get out into the work world, you have to still be able to do all those things in the proper way. And you can have your social, the way you interact socially can be very different, but how you interact in the workplace, there's still a place for all of those skills.
And what does this mean? There has to be money always besides the stock market. There has to be money involved in everything that I talk about on Target and every step you take in life. What does it mean, scholarships? In other words, who has to pay? Like, where do you get the money, or who pays, or who keeps you going, I guess I'm asking.
So I could take that a little bit of it. So we have JAs in general tend to have very large boards. So schools are not asked to provide funding. We fundraise for all of what we do. JAs tend to have
some schools will.
Yeah.
Some schools, it's a combination of efforts.
They'll give us a bit toward the program, but that's a handful of schools. But anyway, so we have a large board. And so they sponsor different things throughout the year, as well as when you were talking earlier about where our volunteers come from, a lot of our volunteers, a good portion, come through our board companies. And then we're just like any other nonprofit. We have an annual fund campaign. We do a lot of grant writing. The stock market experience and the JA Inspire experience for students are sponsored events. So the stocks that are traded at the stock market are the names of the companies that are sponsors for the event. So, you know, just like any other nonprofit, we're out there beating the bushes.
What does scholarships mean? Who would you get need money for scholarships for whom?
So for our high school students,
yes.
our programs range from kindergarten through 12th grade. And at the high school level, any student that has participated in a JA program during their high school career, we have a couple of different local scholarships available for them. And then they are also able to apply for some national level scholarships, just having that JA participation, that junior achievement participation.
You know, I was thinking about that, that I heard in the past. I've heard somebody say, I have a degree from JA, or I have a diploma or something or other, mm-hmm. not necessarily a degree. Mm-hmm. So if you go through the program, I mean, do they receive some kind of a recognition, the students, and maybe the volunteers do too.
Sure. At each grade level, at the end of the program, there are certificates that are handed out.
That's what I was thinking.
When Junior Achievement first started here locally too, it used to only be for a high school level program. And I know then they were creating a product, they were running a company from A to Z, there was conventions, and there was more of certificates and kind of grandeur around that because it was a more of an elite event, whereas now we're kindergarten through 12. Back then it was just high school students.
Yeah. People, that, I mean, it's something to be proud of, mm-hmm. I assume. It's an accomplishment to go through the program.
Sure, absolutely.
And which everyone, no matter what age, would be proud of.
Right.
As far as volunteers, before we go, how do you, you know, what kind do you need and who do you need and how do they contact you and
We always need volunteers. Our volunteers, like I said, come from all walks of life. Sometimes they're parents of students in the schools that we serve. It's a great way for a parent to get involved in their son or daughter's classroom. They are businessmen and women, so a company that is currently involved with us or maybe one that's not, they can contact us directly to get involved. But we never have enough volunteers. Unfortunately, last year we left classrooms on the table because we didn't have enough volunteers to fill the need. So it's the demand for junior treatment programs is there. Teachers call us right through the end of the school year, right through June, looking for a junior treatment.
Do the volunteers need any kind of training? I see you nodding yes.
Yes.
I mean, they
yes.
can't just say,
yes.
I'm a retired French teacher. Can I volunteer?
Yes.
I just made that up. But
They sure do. They will go through, we'll meet with them, we'll take them through a training, provide them with all of the materials, and sit down with them and really make sure that they're ready for whatever grade level it is that they chose to work with. But then when they're in the classroom, they work out the details directly with the teacher that they're working with, and the teacher is in the classroom working with the students and that volunteer.
And just
in
throw
that
them in there and
right.
say, do this.
It's a partnership.
Right. Okay, so thank you. Thank you so much, Lori Mahoney, president, and Alicia Ivancy from Junior Achievement. And we really appreciate your coming and talking to us about this really, really fantastic organization that provides so many important services to us here in Western New York. And thanks for listening, everybody. Please listen for On Target again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week. And goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.